One suggestion for resolving this problem might be that, although there are 5 different superstring theories, 4 might be ruled out simply by experiment, leaving 1 true and relevant explanatory framework. But even if this were the case, we would still be left with the nagging question of why the other theories exist in the first place. In the wry words of Witten, if one of the 5 theories describes our universe, who lives in the other 4 worlds? A physicist's dream is that the search for the ultimate answer will lead to a single, unique, absolutely inevitable conclusion. Ideally, the final theory, whether string theory or something else, should be the way it is because there simply is no other possibility. If we were to discover that there is only 1 logically sound theory incorporating the basic ingredients of relativity and quantum mechanics, many feel that we would have reached the deepest understanding of why the universe has the properties it does. In short, this would be unified theory paradise. As we will see in Chapter 12, recent research has taken superstring theory 1 giant step closer to this unified utopia by showing that the 5 different theories are, remarkably, actually 5 different ways of describing 1 and the same overarching theory. Superstring theory has the uniqueness pedigree. Things seem to be falling into place, but, as we will discuss in the next chapter, unification through string theory does require 1 more significant departure from conventional wisdom. Chapter 8. More Dimensions Than Meet the Eye. Einstein resolved 2 of the major scientific conflicts of the past 100 years through special and then general relativity. Although the initial problems that motivated his work did not portend the outcome, each of these resolutions completely transformed our understanding of space and time. String theory resolves the 3rd major scientific conflict of the past century and, in a manner that even Einstein would likely have found remarkable, it requires that we subject our conceptions of space and time to yet another radical revision. String theory so thoroughly shakes the foundations of modern physics that even the generally accepted number of dimensions in our universe, something so basic that you might think it beyond questioning, is dramatically and convincingly overthrown. The illusion of the familiar. Experience informs intuition, but it does more than that. Experience sets the frame within which we analyze and interpret what we perceive. You would no doubt expect, for instance, that the wild child raised by a pack of wolves would interpret the world from a perspective that differs substantially from your own. Even less extreme comparisons, such as those between people raised in very different cultural traditions, serve to underscore the degree to which our experiences determine our interpretive mindset. Yet there are certain things that we all experience, and it is often the beliefs and expectations that follow from these universal experiences that can be the hardest to identify and the most difficult to challenge. In simple but profound example is the following. If you were to get up from reading this book, you could move in 3 independent directions, that is, through 3 independent spatial dimensions. Absolutely any path you follow, regardless of how complicated, results from some combination of motion through what we might call the left-right dimension, the back-forth dimension, and the up-down dimension. Every time you take a step, you implicitly make 3 separate choices that determine how you move through these 3 dimensions. An equivalent statement, as encountered in our discussion of special relativity, is that any location in the universe can be fully specified by giving 3 pieces of data, where it is relative to these 3 spatial dimensions. In familiar language, you can specify a city address, say, by giving a street, location in the left-right dimension, a cross street or an avenue, location in the back-forth dimension, and a floor number, location in the up-down dimension. And from a more modern perspective, we have seen that Einstein's work encourages us to think about time as another dimension, the future-past dimension, giving us a total of four dimensions, three space dimensions and one time dimension. You specify events in the universe by telling where and when they occur. This feature of the universe is so basic, so consistent, and so thoroughly pervasive that it really does seem beyond questioning. In 1919, however, a little-known German mathematician named Theodor Kaluza from the University of Königsberg had the temerity to challenge the obvious. He suggested that the universe might not actually have three spatial dimensions. It might have more. Sometimes silly-sounding suggestions are plain silly. Sometimes they rock the foundations of physics. Although it took quite some time to percolate, Kaluza's suggestion has revolutionized our formulation of physical law. We are still feeling the aftershocks of his astonishing prescient insight. Kaluza's idea and Klein's refinement. The suggestion that our universe might have more than three spatial dimensions may well sound fatuous, bizarre, or mystical. In reality, though, it is concrete and thoroughly plausible. To see this, it's easiest to shift our sights temporarily from the whole universe and think about a more familiar object, such as a long, thin garden hose. Imagine that a few hundred feet of garden hose is stretched across a canyon, and you view it from, say, a quarter of a mile away. From this distance, you will easily perceive the long, unfurled, horizontal extent of the hose. But unless you have uncanny eyesight, the thickness of the hose will be difficult to discern. From your distant vantage point, you would think that if an ant were constrained to live on the hose, it would only have one dimension in which to walk, the left-right dimension along the hose's length. If someone asked you to specify where the ant was at a given moment, you would need to give only one piece of data, the distance of the ant from the left or the right end of the hose. The upshot is that from a quarter of a mile away, the long piece of garden hose appears to be a one-dimensional object. In reality, we know that the hose does have thickness. You might have trouble resolving this from a quarter mile, but by using a pair of binoculars, you can zoom in on the hose and observe its girth directly. From this magnified perspective, you can see that a little ant living on the hose actually has two independent directions in which it can walk, along the left-right dimension spanning the length of the hose, as already identified, and along the clockwise-counterclockwise dimension, around the circular part of the hose. You now realize that to specify where the tiny ant is at any given instant, you must actually give two pieces of data, where the ant is along the length of the hose and where the ant is along its circular girth. This reflects the fact that the surface of the garden hose is two-dimensional. Nonetheless, there is a clear difference between these two dimensions. The direction along the length of the hose is long, extended, and easily visible. The direction circling around the thickness of the hose is short, curled up, and harder to see. To become aware of the circular dimension, you have to examine the hose with significantly greater precision. This example underscores a subtle and important feature of spatial dimensions. They come in two varieties. They can be large, extended, and therefore directly manifest, or they can be small, curled up, and much more difficult to detect. Of course, in this example, you did not have to exert a great deal of effort to reveal the curled-up dimension encircling the thickness of the hose. You merely had to use a pair of binoculars. However, if you had a very thin garden hose, as thin as a hair or a capillary, detecting its curled-up dimension would be more difficult. In a paper he sent to Einstein in 1919, Kaluza made an astounding suggestion. He proposed that the spatial fabric of the universe might possess more than the three dimensions of common experience. The motivation for this radical thesis, as we will discuss shortly, was Kaluza's realization that it provided an elegant and compelling framework for weaving together Einstein's general relativity and Maxwell's electromagnetic theory into a single, unified conceptual framework. But, more immediately, how can this proposal be squared with the apparent fact that we see precisely three spatial dimensions? The answer, implicit in Kaluza's work and subsequently made explicit and refined by the Swedish mathematician Oscar Klein in 1926, is that the spatial fabric of our universe may have both extended and curled up dimensions. That is, just like the horizontal extent of the garden hose, our universe has dimensions that are large, extended, and easily visible, the three spatial dimensions of common experience. But, like the circular girth of a garden hose, the universe may also have additional spatial dimensions that are tightly curled up into a tiny space, a space so tiny that it has so far eluded detection by even our most refined experimental equipment. To gain a clearer image of this remarkable proposal, let's reconsider the garden hose for a moment. Imagine that the hose is painted with closely spaced black circles along its girth. From far away, as before, the garden hose looks like a thin, one-dimensional line. But if you zoom in with binoculars, you can detect the curled-up dimension even more easily after our paint job. The surface of the garden hose is two-dimensional, with one large extended dimension and one small circular dimension. Kaluza and Klein proposed that our spatial universe is similar, but that it has three large extended spatial dimensions and one small circular dimension, for a total of four spatial dimensions. It is difficult to picture something with that many dimensions, so let's try imagining the fabric of space in much the same way that we zoomed in on the surface of the garden hose, where each subsequent level represents a huge magnification of the spatial fabric displayed in the previous level. The lowest level we imagine represents the apparent structure of space, the ordinary world around us, on familiar distance scales such as meters, the distances represented by a large set of grid lines. In the subsequent levels, we zoom in on the fabric of space by focusing our attention on ever smaller regions, which we sequentially magnify in order to make them easily visible. At first, as we examine the fabric of space on shorter distance scales, not much happens. It appears to retain the same basic form as it has on larger scales. However, as we continue on our journey toward the most microscopic examination of space, a new, curled-up, circular dimension becomes apparent, much like the circular loops of thread making up the pile of a tightly woven piece of carpet. Kaluza and Klein suggested that the extra circular dimension exists at every point in the extended dimensions, just as the circular girth of the garden hose exists at every point along its unfurled horizontal extent. The similarity with the garden hose is manifest, although there are some important differences. The universe has three large extended space dimensions, compared with the garden hose's one, and more important, we are now describing the spatial fabric of the universe itself, not just an object, like the garden hose, that exists within the universe. But the basic idea is the same. Like the circular girth of the garden hose, if the additional curled-up circular dimension of the universe is extremely small, it is much harder to detect than the manifest large extended dimensions. In fact, if its size is small enough, it will be beyond detection even by our most powerful magnifying instruments. The circular dimension is a new dimension, one that exists at every point in the familiar extended dimensions, just as each of the up-down, left-right, and back-forth dimensions exist at every point as well. It is a new and independent direction in which an ant, if it were small enough, could move. To specify the spatial location of such a microscopic ant, we would need to say where it is in the three familiar extended dimensions and also where it is in the circular dimension. We would need four pieces of spatial information. If we add in time, we get a total of five pieces of space-time information, one more than we normally would expect. And so, rather surprisingly, we see that although we are aware of only three extended spatial dimensions, Kaluza's and Klein's reasoning shows that this does not preclude the existence of additional curled-up dimensions, at least if they are very small. The universe may very well have more dimensions than meet the eye. How small is small? Cutting-edge equipment can detect structures as small as a billionth of a billionth of a meter. So long as an extra dimension is curled up to a size less than this tiny distance, it is too small for us to detect. In 1926, Klein combined Kaluza's initial suggestion with some ideas from the emerging field of quantum mechanics. His calculations indicated that the additional circular dimension might be as small as the Planck length, far shorter than experimental accessibility. Since then, physicists have called the possibility of extra tiny space dimensions Kaluza-Klein theory. Comings and goings on a garden hose. The tangible example of the garden hose and the mental image of magnification of the spatial fabric are meant to give you some sense of how it is possible that our universe has extra spatial dimensions. But even for researchers in the field, it is quite difficult to visualize a universe with more than three spatial dimensions. For this reason, physicists often hone their intuition about these extra dimensions by contemplating what life would be like if we lived in an imaginary lower-dimensional universe. Following the lead of Edwin Abbott's enchanting 1884 classic popularization, Flatland, in which we slowly realize that the universe has more dimensions than those of which we are directly aware. Let's try this by imagining a two-dimensional universe shaped like our garden hose. Doing so requires that you relinquish an outsider's perspective that views the garden hose as an object in our universe. Rather, you must leave the world as we know it and enter a new garden hose universe in which the surface of a very long garden hose, you can think of it as being infinitely long, is all there is as far as spatial extent. Imagine that you are a tiny ant living your life on its surface. Let's start by making things even a little more extreme. Imagine that the length of the circular dimension of the garden hose universe is very short. So short that neither you nor any of your fellow hose dwellers are even aware of its existence. Instead, you and everyone else living in the hose universe take one basic fact of life to be so evident as to be beyond questioning. The universe has one spatial dimension. If the garden hose universe had produced its own Aunt Einstein, hose dwellers would say that the universe has one spatial and one time dimension. In fact, this feature is so self-evident that hose dwellers have named their home Lineland, directly emphasizing its having one spatial dimension. Life in Lineland is very different from life as we know it. For example, the body with which you are familiar cannot fit in Lineland. No matter how much effort you may put into body reshaping, one thing you can't get around is that you definitely have length, width, and breadth, spatial extent in three dimensions. In Lineland, there is no room for such an extravagant design. Remember, although your mental image of Lineland may still be tied to a long thread-like object existing in our space, you really need to think of Lineland as a universe, all there is. As an inhabitant of Lineland, you must fit within its spatial extent. Try to imagine it. Even if you take on an ant's body, you still will not fit. You must squeeze your ant body to look more like a worm, and then further squeeze it until you have no thickness at all. To fit in Lineland, you must be a being that has only length. Imagine further that you have an eye on each end of your body, unlike your human eyes, which can swivel around to look in all three dimensions. Your eyes, as a line being, are forever locked into position, each staring off into the one-dimensional distance. This is not an anatomical limitation of your new body. Instead, you and all other line beings recognize that since line land has but one dimension, there simply isn't another direction in which your eyes can look. Forward and backward exhaust the extent of line land. We can try to go further in imagining life in line land, but we quickly realize that there's not much more to it. For instance, if another line being is on one or the other side of you, picture how it will appear. You will see one of her eyes, the one facing you, but unlike human eyes, hers will be a single dot. Eyes in line land have no features and display no emotion. There is just no room for these familiar characteristics. Moreover, you will be forever stuck with this dot-like image of your neighbor's eye. If you wanted to pass her and explore the realm of line land on the other side of her body, you would be in for a great disappointment. You can't pass by her. She is fully blocking the road, and there is no space in line land to go around her. The order of line beings, as they are sprinkled along the extent of line land, is fixed and unchanging. What drudgery! A few thousand years after a religious epiphany in line land, a line being named Kaluza K. Line offers some hope for the downtrodden line dwellers. Either from divine inspiration or from the sheer exasperation of years of staring at his neighbor's dot eye, he suggests that line land may not be one-dimensional after all. What if, he theorizes, line land is actually two-dimensional, with the second space dimension being a very small circular direction that has, as yet, evaded direct detection because of its tiny spatial extent? He goes on to paint a picture of a vastly new life, if only this curled-up space direction would expand in size, something that is at least possible according to the recent work of his colleague, Leinstein. Kaluza K. Line describes a universe that amazes you and your comrades and fills everyone with hope, a universe in which line beings can move freely past one another by making use of the second dimension, the end of spatial enslavement. We realize that Kaluza K. Line is describing life in a thickened garden hose universe. In fact, if the circular dimension were to grow, inflating line land into the garden hose universe, your life would change in profound ways. Take your body, for example. As a line being, anything between your two eyes constitutes the interior of your body. Your eyes, therefore, play the same role for your line body as skin plays for an ordinary human body. They constitute the barrier between the inside of your body and the outside world. A doctor in line land can access the interior of your line body only by puncturing its surface. In other words, surgery in line land takes place through the eyes. But now imagine what happens if line land does, a la Kaluza K. Line, have a secret curled-up dimension, and if this dimension expands to an observably large size. Now one line being can view your body at an angle and thereby directly see into its interior. Using this second dimension, a doctor can operate on your body by reaching directly inside your exposed interior. Weird. In time, line beings, no doubt, would develop a skin-like cover to shield the newly exposed interior of their bodies from contact with the outside world. And moreover, they would undoubtedly evolve into beings with length as well as breadth, flat beings sliding along the two-dimensional garden hose universe. If the circular dimension were to grow very large, this two-dimensional universe would be closely akin to Abbott's Flatland, an imaginary two-dimensional world Abbott suffused with a rich cultural heritage and even a satirical caste system based upon one's geometrical shape. Whereas it's hard to imagine anything interesting happening in line land, there is just not enough room, life on a garden hose becomes replete with possibilities. The evolution from one to two observably large space dimensions is dramatic. And now the refrain. Why stop there? The two-dimensional universe might itself have a curled-up dimension and therefore secretly be three-dimensional. We recognize that we are now imagining that there are only two extended space dimensions. If the circular dimension should expand, a two-dimensional being would find itself in a vastly new world in which movement is not limited to just left, right, and back, forth along the extended dimensions. Now a being can also move in a third dimension, the up-down direction along the circle. In fact, if the circular dimension were to grow to a large enough size, this could be our three-dimensional universe. We do not know at present whether any of our three spatial dimensions extends outward forever, or in fact curls back on itself in the shape of a giant circle beyond the range of our most powerful telescopes. But the refrain replays. Why stop there? This takes us to Kaluza's and Klein's vision, that our three-dimensional universe might have a previously unanticipated curled-up fourth spatial dimension. If this striking possibility, or its generalization to numerous curled-up dimensions, to be discussed shortly, is true, and if these curled-up dimensions were themselves to expand to a macroscopic size, the lower-dimensional examples discussed make it clear that life as we know it would change immensely. Surprisingly, though, even if they should always stay curled up and small, the existence of extra curled-up dimensions has profound implications. Unification in higher dimensions. Although Kaluza's 1919 suggestion that our universe might have more spatial dimensions than those of which we are directly aware was a remarkable possibility in its own right, something else really made it compelling. Einstein had formulated general relativity in the familiar setting of a universe with three spatial dimensions and one time dimension. The mathematical formalism of his theory, however, could be extended fairly directly to write down analogous equations for a universe with additional space dimensions. Under the modest assumption of one extra space dimension, Kaluza carried out the mathematical analysis and explicitly derived the new equations. He found that in the revised formulation, the equations pertaining to the three ordinary dimensions were essentially identical to Einstein's. But because he included an extra space dimension, not surprisingly, Kaluza found extra equations beyond those Einstein originally derived. After studying the extra equations associated with the new dimension, Kaluza realized that something amazing was going on. The extra equations were none other than those Maxwell had written down in the 1880s for describing the electromagnetic force. By adding another space dimension, Kaluza had united Einstein's theory of gravity with Maxwell's theory of light. Before Kaluza's suggestion, gravity and electromagnetism were thought of as two unrelated forces. Nothing had even hinted that there might be a relation between them. By having the bold creativity to imagine that our universe has an additional space dimension, Kaluza suggested that there was a deep connection indeed. His theory argued that both gravity and electromagnetism are associated with ripples in the fabric of space. Gravity is carried by ripples in the familiar three space dimensions, while electromagnetism is carried by ripples involving the new curled-up dimension. Kaluza sent his paper to Einstein, and at first Einstein was quite intrigued. On April 21, 1919, Einstein wrote back to Kaluza and told him that it had never occurred to him that unification might be achieved through a five-dimensional, four-space and one-time, cylinder world. He added, "At first glance, I like your idea enormously." About a week later, though, Einstein wrote Kaluza again, this time with some skepticism. "I have read through your paper and find it really interesting. Nowhere so far can I see an impossibility. On the other hand, I have to admit that the arguments brought forward so far do not appear convincing enough." But then, on October 14, 1921, more than 2 years later, Einstein wrote to Kaluza again, having had time to digest Kaluza's novel approach more fully. I am having second thoughts about having restrained you from publishing your idea on a unification of gravitation and electricity 2 years ago. If you wish, I shall present your paper to the Academy after all. Belatedly, Kaluza had received the master's stamp of approval. Although it was a beautiful idea, subsequent detailed study of Kaluza's proposal, augmented by Klein's contributions, showed that it was in serious conflict with experimental data. The simplest attempts to incorporate the electron into the theory predicted relations between its mass and its charge that were vastly different from their measured values. Because there did not seem to be any obvious way of getting around this problem, many of the physicists who had taken notice of Kaluza's idea lost interest. Einstein and others continued, now and then, to dabble with the possibility of extra curled-up dimensions, but it quickly came to be an enterprise on the outskirts of theoretical physics. In a real sense, Kaluza's idea was way ahead of its time. The 1920s marked the start of a bull market for theoretical and experimental physics concerned with understanding the basic laws of the micro-world. Theorists had their hands full as they sought to develop the structure of quantum mechanics and quantum field theory. Experimentalists had the detailed properties of the atom as well as numerous other elementary material constituents to discover. Theory guided experiment, and experiment refined theory as physicists pushed forward for half a century, ultimately to reveal the standard model. It is no wonder that speculations on extra dimensions took a distant back seat during these productive and heady times. With physicists exploring powerful quantum methods, the implications of which gave rise to experimentally testable predictions, there was little interest in the mere possibility that the universe might be a vastly different place on length scales, far too small to be probed by even the most powerful of instruments. But sooner or later, bull markets lose steam. By the late 1960s and early 1970s, the theoretical structure of the standard model was in place. By the late 1970s and early 1980s, many of its predictions had been verified experimentally, and most particle physicists concluded that it was just a matter of time before the rest were confirmed as well. Although a few important details remained unresolved, many felt that the major questions concerning the strong, weak, and electromagnetic forces had been answered. The time was finally ripe to return to the grandest question of all, the enigmatic conflict between general relativity and quantum mechanics. The success in formulating a quantum theory of three of nature's forces emboldened physicists to try to bring the fourth, gravity, into the fold. Having pursued numerous ideas that all ultimately failed, the mindset of the community became more open to comparatively radical approaches. After being left for dead in the late 1920s, Kaluza-Klein theory was resuscitated. Modern Kaluza-Klein theory. The understanding of physics had significantly changed and substantially deepened in the 6 decades since Kaluza's original proposal. Quantum mechanics had been fully formulated and experimentally verified. The strong and the weak forces, unknown in the 1920s, had been discovered and were largely understood. Some physicists suggested that Kaluza's original proposal had failed because he was unaware of these other forces and had therefore been too conservative in his revamping of space. More forces meant the need for even more dimensions. It was argued that a single new circular dimension, although able to show hints of a connection between general relativity and electromagnetism, was just not enough. By the mid-1970s, an intense research effort was underway, focusing on higher dimensional theories with numerous curled-up spatial directions. One example would be two extra dimensions that are curled up into the surface of a ball, that is, a sphere. As in the case of the single circular dimension, these extra dimensions are tacked on to every point of the familiar extended dimensions. Beyond proposing a different number of extra dimensions, one can also imagine other shapes for the extra dimensions, such as a possibility in which there are again two extra dimensions now in the shape of a hollow donut, that is, a torus. More complicated possibilities can be imagined in which there are 3, 4, 5, essentially any number of extra-spatial dimensions curled up into a wide spectrum of exotic shapes. The essential requirement, again, is that all of these dimensions have a spatial extent smaller than the smallest length scales we can probe, since no experiment has yet revealed their existence.